Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Tonight's topic, ADHD, how it manifests differently in girls and women. With us in our virtual studio is Dr. Patricia Quinn. Real quickly, I have abbreviated announcements tonight. Just a reminder to everybody that we have our Facebook page going. If you go to facebook.com/Attention Talk Radio, please like us. You can write on our wall. You can access archive shows from there. You can see what our upcoming schedule is. And you can actually listen to the show live if you click on the live tab, et cetera. For those of you who did not listen, last night we had Alexis Hernandez in, who was a finalist in the season 6 of the Next Food Network Star. It was a spectacular show. He was very excited. It was an interesting show that we've done before because he was so enthusiastic and positive and was somewhat successful. So I just want to kind of plug that show. If you haven't listened to it, I would encourage you to kind of do so. A couple shows coming up next week. We're having Linda Rigley on the AD Diva talking about neurotransmitters in a real fun cartoon kind of way that hasn't been done from her new book. I encourage you to listen in on that. And then particularly for our coaches out there, we actually pre-taped the show with Sarah Wright that's going to air on the 28th. That's the history of the ADHD coaching organization. We're going to talk about kind of the birth of ADHD coaching going back into the 90s and the formation of the ACO. And talking about where it started and where it is today, I had a great time with Sarah in the interview, and I encourage you to listen to it because it's a good show. It's very enlightening, and I think you'll enjoy it. But you didn't call or listen in tonight to hear that stuff. You're here to listen to Dr. Patricia Quinn talking about the difference between girls and women when it comes to ADHD. And real quickly, Dr. Quinn is a developmental pediatrician in the Washington, D.C. area. She's a graduate of Georgetown University Medical School, and she specializes in developmental, and I always like it when I pronounce this right, psychopharmacology. She's worked for over 30 years in the area of ADHD and learning disabilities. She gives workshops nationwide and has appeared on Lifetime TV's New Attitudes, the PBS show, To the Contrary, and recently Good Morning America, discussing the issues of girls and women with ADHD. In 2000, Dr. Quinn received the Chad Hall of Fame Award for her outstanding service in the field of ADHD. She hails from Washington, D.C. She's got four children, three of whom who have ADHD, and eight grandchildren, of which one of them I think is in the background that she's babysitting. So if we hear some squawking and stuff, she's doing double duty. She's entertaining us tonight and entertaining the four-year-old at the same time. So welcome to the show, Dr. Quinn.
Thank you very much.
We had you on the show last summer talking about ADHD parents raising ADHD kids, and it was a great show. When we got done, I asked you for a topic, and you brought this up, which is really, really where you're an expert at. And I've done some research, and the closer we got to the show, the more excited I got about it. And I want to start things off tonight, and like just to begin. You know, there's a difference between men and women. I mean, the plumbing is different, the hormones are different, the experience is different. My question to you, Dr. Quinn, is how come science has lumped them all together when it comes to ADHD as if men and women are the exact same in this experience and assume what fits for one fits for the other?
Well, unfortunately, that's happened in lots of areas, in heart disease, cancer, et cetera, and it certainly happened in ADHD. I think that how we perceived ADHD for so many years was a disorder of hyperactive elementary school-age boys. And girls and women were just – adults were left out, but girls were left out altogether for many years, and the disorder was characterized. And in 1997, Dr. Nadeau and I founded the Center for Girls and Women with ADHD just for the reason that when we started looking up research that even included girls, you could only find 10 to 15 studies that even included girls. And they were certainly minorities, 11%, 17% of the populations. In that large MTA study that people talk about, they only had 17% girls. So even when you're talking about studies, by the year 2000, there were only 20 studies on girls and women.
Wow.
that had ever been done. So it wasn't even that they were being lumped together. They weren't even being looked at.
Mm.
And, you know, that your point is so on target for this, that we are different, and we need to look at how the disorder. Now, I'm not here tonight to tell your audience that ADHD is a different disorder in girls and women. You have to have problems with attention, concentration, and focus to have ADD, you know, or ADHD.
Yep.
So, you know, you have to have those primary symptoms. But how they manifest, and the comorbidities, particularly mood disorders and other internalizing disorders, are very different in females. Just in the general population, never mind ADHD, there are more mood disorders in women, more eating disorders in women. You know, so you see them just in general, and certainly they're seen in those with ADHD. And we need to look at that. We need to look at this as you know, the manifestations, consequences of ADHD. We perceive this disorder differently if we're a male and female. We have different relationships. And certainly the hormonal piece is really very important. So that's what I'm here really to talk to your audience about and hopefully answer some questions or raise some questions as to what's been going on.
So really what I'm hearing you say is ADHD is there, but it presents itself completely – well, we're generalizing here a little bit because everybody's different. And I have to be careful with that because always that one quote, once you've seen one person with ADHD, you've seen one person with ADHD. We got to be careful. We're looking at normative data here, so it's not everybody. But the idea here is that ADHD presents itself, if you will, typically different from girls and boys, and it looks completely different when you really think about it. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. And in general, in the population, girls are less hyperactive in general.
Uh-huh.
Girls have more inattentive forms of ADHD. Inattentive males can look very similar to females, just like combined type females. There are combined type females who look very much like the males who have hyperactivity and impulsivity. So you're absolutely correct about not generalizing. But when we look at the disorder, the symptoms even in, let's say, the combined type who have impulsivity and hyperactivity may be different. For example, instead of being hyperactive, girls may be hypertalkative.
Uh-huh.
They may be hyperreactive in that they have a lot of lack of emotional control so that they feel they're riding an emotional roller coaster. We often don't see that with males with ADHD. As a consequence as well, we find that as a result of their behaviors, boys with ADHD, we often look at how their behaviors are affecting others. Are they being disruptive? Are you being disrespectful? Are you being destructive? That kind of thing. For females, it's how does their symptomology affect them with the internalizing. And I'm just going to give you a quick example of that. Let's say...
Yep.
A boy and a girl each flunk a test. They each get an F on a test.
Uh-huh.
The boy with ADHD will come out and say, that was a stupid test. The girl with ADHD will say, I'm stupid. So huge difference. Yeah, they both have ADHD. They both have the symptoms of ADHD and as a result flunk the test. But the consequences then of what happens based on their gender is very different. Girls with ADHD, if the teacher, if you know they're having trouble in class or having trouble with friends, they'll say, you know, they're stupid, I don't like her, if they're a boy.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a girl with ADHD, she'll say, they don't like me, I have no friends,
so
and they don't like me.
Again, everybody out there, I got to be careful here because we are dealing generalizations. This doesn't apply, but I'm kind of hearing that with boys it's more external and with girls it's more internal.
Yes, that's correct. And then perceive their disorder differently. Girls are very perceptive about how their disorder is affecting them. You know, the boy with ADHD often can be missing 59 math assignments, still goes to class.
Uh-huh.
The girl with ADHD shows up one day without a project that everybody else has. She's so embarrassed and humiliated. She develops school phobias. In studies, we have shown, one of the studies that have been done in girls and boys with ADHD shows that girls with ADHD have more psychosomatic complaints, they have more headaches, they have more stomach aches, they have more anxiety as a result of their ADHD symptomology. The boys with ADHD just, you know, say, I'm going to go do this, and I'm missing 57 math assignments. The girl is so embarrassed and humiliated, she can't even show up the next day for class if it just happens once. So, again, that makes a huge difference as to what we're seeing and what we're dealing with. So the symptoms of ADHD may then cause other issues and coexisting conditions like anxiety, these psychosomatic complaints to come up, depression, self-esteem issues. Girls with ADHD often have a lot of shame around their symptoms. Boys may feel guilty about something they did, but they're often not ashamed of what they did, or even mm-hmm. their parents aren't ashamed. So, again, we see these differences that then manifest over time as a lot of self-esteem, a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety, a lot of mood disorders coexisting in girls and women with ADHD. Often, as a matter of fact, Jeff, we find that those mood disorders, the depression and anxiety, get uh-huh. diagnosed. The ADHD does not get diagnosed. You know, people are very familiar with what depression looks like. So they'll say, oh, she's 12, 13, she's depressed, or she's 8 or 9 and she's anxious. You know, let's take her to a psychiatrist. Let's get her treated for depression or anxiety. They'll see that. These girls actually have this anxiety and depression because they have underlying ADHD,
which
goes undiagnosed.
She's been diagnosed
for many years.
Can we hold right there? I need to run to a break. When we come back, I want to delve into this a little bit further, because if ADHD is manifesting itself different between boys and girls, we're getting into the recognition of here of the diagnosis and treatment. I think that's a kind of a big iceberg that we want to kind of tuck into. So I'd like to run to a break real quick. But before we do, if anybody is interested in learning more about you, wants to buy any of your books or contact you, in my understanding, the best place to go is to addvance.com.
Absolutely.
And you can. I'm sure you can access your books off there or click the contact button, in which case they can send an email to you, right?
Absolutely. That's right. The contact comes to me.
All right. With that, we'll be right back after this message.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
ADHD. Is it real? How is it diagnosed? How do I know if I have it or if my children have it? Do you outgrow it? You have questions and we have answers. We're CHAD, a national organization made up of professionals, parents, educators, and of course, those with ADHD. So if you want real answers to your questions, join CHAD at www.chadd.org or call us at 800-233-4050.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
I'm Jeff Copper, host of Attention Talk Radio, here to talk to you about CopyTalk.com, a voice dictation service. This is not just some voice dictation software. It's a real dictation service by people who type whatever you want. When I need to document something, all I do is hit speed dial on my cell or work phone and start speaking. The folks at CopyTalk will type it up and email it back to me that day. The best part is I can dictate as many 4-minute messages as I want, all for one flat monthly fee. Go to copytalk.com/ATR, enter Jeff Copper as the referrer's name, and sign up for the free trial account today. If you tell them I sent you, then you'll get $20 off the monthly subscription for as long as you keep the service.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
This is your ADHD information station, Attention Talk Radio. You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We have Dr. Patricia Quinn in our virtual studio tonight. We're talking about ADHD, how it manifests differently in girls and women. Before the break, we were talking about, there's a difference between men and women, and ADHD might be somewhat similar in the brain, our experiences are really different. And how about looking at the genders differently at how it might manifest? And what was really interesting in the first segment I got is again, we're generalizing, is that for guys it's more external. You can see the behavior issues. But with girls it's more internal, and I think it's more difficult to recognize. And we touched on a diagnosis before we hit the break, and it seems to me, Dr. Quinn, that the way it manifests between boys and girls really would really throw the imbalance. Like, if I heard you correctly, with girls it's misdiagnosed. Many times we hit the like something else like depression when ADHD is really there, and they're being treated for the wrong primary thing because it's how it manifests. Can you share our thoughts, and am I off on that?
No, that's correct. And actually, we did a survey once and found that 15% of girls with ADHD are actually treated with antidepressant medication before they get their ADHD diagnosis, compared to 4% of males. So you can see it's over three times that they're actually being diagnosed and treated for the depression before they get their ADHD diagnosed. It's also why about the mean age of diagnosis for males is about 7. For females, it's 12, 13. So they're diagnosed much later because of that. And for many girls and women, they're not diagnosed till college or well into adulthood when their symptoms outweigh their abilities to cope. And they cope for many years by developing perfectionistic qualities, working very hard, staying up very late. We say women with ADHD stay in the closet much longer. It's a messy closet, but they stay in there. they suffer silently. They don't let anyone know. Yeah. They stay up real late at night to get everything done. They call for help. They look for help from people. They work very hard, and as a result, they don't get diagnosed. So women are often diagnosed much later. Often, it's not until their hormones start falling. And hormonal fluctuations, I mean, you were talking about the differences, again, with gender, and the differences even in hormones. And I find this fascinating, that males take their androgens, their male hormones, and their liver converts them every day to estrogen, and that males have the same amount of estrogen every day of their lives as their liver is converting their male hormones. For females, we know monthly those levels of estrogen fluctuate. They go up very high during pregnancy and then precipitously fall right after birth, and then about 10 years before menopause, the hormone levels start decreasing in females. And if you look at men in their 60s and 70s, they actually have more estrogen than women.
Wow.
Because their estrogen stays pretty much the same almost until their late 70s, early 80s. So men don't have that fluctuating estrogen. And the brain is a target organ for estrogen. You're going to be talking, I heard you're talking about neurotransmitters.
Yep.
Well, estrogen enhances monoamine release at the synapse. About 30% of our dopamine and serotonin is the result of estrogen enhancement. So when you let estrogen levels fall, you also have decreases in dopamine and serotonin levels, which for women will result in worsening ADD symptoms. As the estrogen goes down, the dopamine goes down, their ADD symptoms get worse. As the estrogen goes down, the serotonin goes down, and depression gets worse. That's why we see PMS, premenstrual syndrome, premenstrual mood disorders, PMDD, and why we also see postpartum depression as the estrogen falls precipitously after the baby's born. The serotonin goes down, they get depressed. And we also see in perimenopause and menopause, the symptoms of ADHD actually get worse in these women.
Wow.
In their 30s, late 30s, early 40s. And that's why many women aren't diagnosed till their late 30s and early 40s. As their estrogen starts going down, their ADD symptoms get worse.
Well, I got to tell you, and be patient with here, Earl, because I got a lot of things that jumped out at me. One is you said the girls are diagnosed at 12 and 13, which is when puberty's really kind of kicking in, which is fascinating to me. Number two is is the change in hormonal stuff is more mood swings. And we had done a show with Dr. Barkley last March about the impact of emotion on ADHD. It was a fascinating show, which kind of plays in. The other thing is, I never really thought about this, but as your hormones go and it changes the dopamine, I never really thought about this, but your meds actually might not be as effective at certain times of the month, just because I've talked. Dr. Charles Parker was on this ago. We were talking about the complexity of the meds and metabolizing. I mean, you could have somebody who's taking medication and all of a sudden starts a highly aerobic sport like running or swimming, and they go and they exercise and they metabolize it, and all of a sudden the meds have worn off because of that. And it just all of a sudden I'm starting the difficulty, the swings based off of hormones and stuff with among girls. It makes all the sense in the world that this is a challenge.
Stimulants are more effective in the follicular phase of the cycle, the early phase of the cycle, than in the luteal phase after ovulation, the end of the cycle. So you can even have monthly swings of how effective your stimulants are based on where you are in your cycle. And
wow.
They need to change the dose of medication, just like for antidepressants, for someone who has PMS. If they're on antidepressants for depression, but they also have PMS, they may need to increase their antidepressants for the week before their period. For some girls and women, I've actually increased their stimulant dose the week before their period.
Wow.
And we have some women who, as they're getting older, their meds are less effective than they were before because their estrogen levels are going down.
Wow.
So it's very complex.
Something
often I find, too, and I just want to say this, Jeff, because people are listening to this show. They certainly can get more information of this on our websites and in our books. My latest book is 100 Questions and Answers about Girls and Women with ADHD. I also have a monograph that I put together on hormonal fluctuations and some of this research because no one had put it together in one place. But often in these cases, it's the patient, the woman or girl, who is educating her physician about this, because a lot of physicians really have not gone this thoroughly into this these aspects. And as you say, treating ADHD in girls and women is a very complex disorder.
I'm having a whole new appreciation of it, because it's got to be much more complicated working with women because of the hormonal changes of their natural cycle than it is with boys with regard to this stuff, not to mention the emotional regulation as a result of some of those things, because as we had talked with Dr. Barkley, emotion is a big factor in this. He's a big proponent of bringing that back into the diagnostic system manual as a component of it. So my head is swirling about how much more difficult it has got to be for women in this environment than it is for boys or men.
Absolutely. And the emotional reactivity that we see in these women, to try to get that under control, they don't know how they're going to be reacting all the time. And it's very difficult. And something particularly when we have what you were talking about, the diagnosis in puberty. In puberty, hyperactivity tends to get better. And for many boys, symptoms improve. That's why pediatricians used to say that boys outgrew this disorder, because they look better in puberty. For girls, the symptoms get worse in puberty because of the hormonal fluctuations.
Wow.
And we actually see girls looking worse as they enter puberty, and that's why some of them get diagnosed at that time. But we really do see things getting worse for girls and women, and why we want to get the disorder diagnosed as early as possible so we can prevent some of these secondary problems. When I diagnose women with ADHD and start talking to them about self-esteem, hopelessness that they felt very early, I say to them, when did your ADHD start affecting you? When did it affect your self-esteem? When did you start thinking you weren't smart? And they say as early as eight. And so the earlier we can get these girls diagnosed, the better to prevent some of these issues.
Dr. Quinn, two things. Number one, I need to go to a commercial break, but can you run a little bit over tonight? I think I can extend this so the show can go longer. Is that all right?
a few minutes, yeah.
Yeah, this is great material. And again, for those who want to learn more about Dr. Quinn, want to contact her or learn more about her books, if you go to addvance.com, you can find it all there. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention@attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We've got Dr. Patricia Quinn in the house in our virtual studios, and we're having a great discussion. I'm learning probably more today about women and ADHD than I have in my lifetime. At the top of the show, we were talking about the differences in women. In the middle of the show, we were talking about diagnosis and stuff, and we were talking about like moods and emotion and hormonal type stuff. And Dr. Quinn, it's fascinating, as I had alluded. We had interviewed Dr. Barkley last March because he really feels that emotion should be a part of the diagnostic kind of criteria. And as we've reflected on the changes of a woman's cycle and the internalization more of this type of stuff, emotion seems to me to be more of an issue with women here, because they're internalizing it, number one, and that in itself is an area of difficulty in self-regulating. Can you speak to that, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and there's actually some of the early research in women that was done, and some of the best research was done by two women, Rutledge and Tanak, and they actually studied women and looked at this, and the devastating effect of undiagnosed and untreated ADHD on these women. I referred to it a few minutes ago, but what they found is that very early, girls and women develop self-esteem issues, early as girls. They then go on to develop a learned helplessness, and they really feel like this always happens to me. There's nothing I can do about it. The world is always kind of turning out this way for me, and they become very hopeless. And there's a lot of problems, risk-taking behaviors in girls and women as a consequence. More substance abuse in girls and women. Biederman did some studies looking at mean age of cigarette smoking, 11.2. For girls and women for girls with ADHD. So we have a lot of issues as a result of this disorder not being recognized and not being diagnosed. When I diagnose a woman with ADHD, often the first thing she says to me is, "You mean that's all I have? I'm not stupid." I love doing what I do. ADHD is a very hopeful diagnosis. I now can tell you this is what it is, and here's what we can do about it.
Yep.
You know, I've seen women who've been in therapy for 7 years. And then they'll say to me, "I've been in therapy for 7 years. I've been on 5 different antidepressants. Don't go there. Something else is wrong with me, Dr. Quinn. I know it." They've been treated for depression or bipolar or whatever, and no one has thought ADHD. And that's what we're hoping by shows like yours and by talking about this and advocating and raising awareness of this disorder in girls and women, that we hope these women don't have to continue to suffer and go and be misdiagnosed or missed altogether and not be diagnosed at all.
And there's something else I want to jump on. Before we end the show, I want to talk about eating disorders in females. But before we do, one of my questions to you is if the hormonal cycle and the combination with ADHD and the self-regulation of emotion, is that more difficult? Is it more difficult for females to self-regulate their emotion if they have ADHD, just because they're female and they're and because of their normal cycles?
Yes.
That's pretty.
And so that's something that we have.
When you stop
on.
And think about it, that's kind of a big deal, because if that's the case, if you're treating somebody with ADHD, and again, I'm just impulsively saying that, I would think that there's got to be a more of a multimodal treatment plan that's going to deal with the emotional side of that stuff, as opposed to just the rote, like coaching and cognitive. Okay, here's what you got to do. If you're going to wake up in the morning, this is how you're going to get out of bed, and this is how you're going to get done. It seems to me there needs to be more focus on dealing with the emotions of things. Am I off base?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And how they feel about themselves, this psychosomatic piece we talked about, the anxiety, the phobias, the learned helplessness. That whole piece all needs to be dealt with, usually when we see women. Sometimes it's anger, but not usually. It's more depression and anxiety. But that emotional piece does need to be dealt with in order for them to start making progress. And you also need to deal with regulating the emotional piece very often with different medications. As I said, I talked a little bit about perfectionism, but girls and women with ADHD also develop obsessive-compulsive personality disorder in order to control their ADHD symptoms. So they don't have obsessive-compulsive disorder. They develop obsessive-compulsive personalities that, again, need to be dealt with to help them. So there's a lot of facets.
It's almost like they develop these compensatory strategies to deal with that stuff, and it looks like something else, but it's really to compensate for these other things.
Absolutely. That's what we find in the women.
I have a question. We have in our chat room, we have a question to you. What does impulsivity look like in girls and women as opposed to men?
Well, often you'd see with men when they present to you that their impulsivity leads to frequent job changes, that they may, quit jobs or get out of relationships really quickly. So they have a lot of moves. They may have a lot of job changes, et cetera. For women, it's very interesting. You were going to get into eating disorders, and what I was going to comment quickly about that is we find that impulsivity as a symptom is one of the primary factors for developing eating disorders for women, that women often they impulsively start eating, they compulsively eat, they can't stop, and they eat for many reasons. And we see a lot of disordered eating, particularly binge eating in women with ADHD, also some obesity, and I don't even want to, I mean, there's so many things we can go into here, but we see women sometimes eat for stimulation, they also eat to make themselves feel better, carbohydrate and chocolate eating will also raise serotonin levels. There's lots of things going on here, but we do see a lot of binge eating, sometimes developing into bulimia, and a significant increase in studies now, two studies in women and two in girls, finding a significant increase in girls with ADHD eating disorders in girls and women with ADHD over control populations. So, again, we get into these eating disorders as well.
So I'm just kind
of
curious.
And impulsivity is, again, one of the issues. Again, poor decision making, and it's not so much acting out, but it may be, second guessing themselves or not making good decisions.
Did I hear you a second ago saying that eating chocolate and stuff before your period increases serotonin? Did I hear that right?
Yes, you did.
Wow. That explains that now, doesn't it? Particularly
yes, it
those
does.
With ADHD. And well, let's. I want to tell you that I want to come back. There's something that's kind of cropped up in my head. I want to ask you about ADHD women and domestic violence and the tolerance for that in a second.
Oh, but thank you. That's very important.
Is it? That just kind of came to me in this stuff. I didn't really, but hey, we'll come back to it. But when it comes to eating disorders, is if you have low self-esteem, if you're depressed, if you're impulsive, if you're distracted, that just lines itself up for
Absolutely.
Potential eating problems, correct?
Absolutely. And that's why we see a lot of these eating disorders in girls and women with ADHD.
And Dr. Roberto Olivardia up in Harvard has been doing a lot of research. I know he presented at the CHAD conference, and he was on our show back in May talking about this very issue, that there's – people haven't looked at it, but there's a big correlation between obesity and ADHD, and if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a big correlation, a higher correlation, if you will, between obesity, ADHD, particularly in women that have inattentive ADHD.
Yes, because they don't pay attention when they're eating, and they don't know. They can eat as many as 1,500 calories a day. You ask them to complete a diet diary, and they have no idea what they've eaten because they weren't paying attention.
Wow.
And we also see that they, when you're in any diet program to lose weight, you have to have a plan B. You have to be able to strategize. You have to be able to plan ahead. You have to be organized. You have to shop. You have to make meals. You have to have the food at home. Or what are you going to do instead of? All areas that people with ADHD are not good at.
Yep.
Therefore, you can't stay in any program that we have for you to try to lose weight. And John Fleming did studies years ago up in Toronto in his obesity clinic, finding that people who were in the morbidly obese, the highest quartile, who could not lose weight, when he gave them ADHD questionnaires, over 40% of them reached criteria for having an ADHD diagnosis, and they hadn't yet been diagnosed. But that's what he found to be part of why they were in the obesity clinics and why they couldn't lose weight.
As an aside, about 2 years ago, I think in January, I interviewed Barbara Luther, who's been an ADHD coach forever, and she was making this connection herself, and she started managing her ADD and lost 90 pounds as a result of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back in our archives, it's the Distraction Zone Diet. But moving on, I still want to get to the violence thing, but we have another question from the chat room. Does it also manifest in sexuality? And I'm going to pause here for a second. We did a show with Gina Pera back in, I think, April or May of last year, talking about the impact of ADHD on sex and intimacy. And, yes, there is a lot. As a matter of fact, I have taped another show with Gina, just, and I hold it in archives in case a guest doesn't show up. But we have a sequel coming to it relatively soon, and it's amazing how it does impact sex and sexuality. But the question is a little bit more detailed. Does it also manifest in sexuality, i.e., unprotected sex, unwanted pregnancies, et cetera, criminality, shoplifting, that type of a thing? Can you speak to that?
Yes, studies have shown that there's unwanted pregnancies, unplanned pregnancies in women with ADHD. But the other piece is author Anastopoulos at UNC Greensboro did a study looking at a teen pregnancy clinic with a control group from girls in the same high school, gave ADHD rating scales to the girls who were pregnant in this clinic. And aside from being pregnant, the other factor that caused you to be in the pregnancy clinic versus in the high school attending classes was high ADHD symptom scores.
Hmm.
Fascinating. So and Barclay has done some studies with sexually transmitted diseases and unwanted pregnancies in undiagnosed girls with ADHD.
So I bring it back, because I got about 6 minutes left, but I do want to ask you, in listening to all this stuff about if women are different, if it's more internal, if it's more emotional, if it's more anxiety, more about themselves, they more internalizing that stuff. I used to be the chairman of the board of a thing in Tampa called the Hillsborough County Crisis Center, and we had a variety of stuff. We did a suicide hotline, but one of the things that we dealt with was dealing with women in kind of crisis in this particular area, and we'd refer out for women that were beaten and stuff like that. And there was always that issue of, like, why are they around? And what you've described to me is, if you're down on yourself, it's always your fault. If you're in a domestic type of situation, is there a propensity for these type of people to be living in this environment? And are they more prone to be trapped in that environment?
Well, the studies haven't been done, so we don't have the actual data yet. But in looking at these women and in talking to some of these women, certainly often they feel that they cannot live up to societal expectations. You know, so if they're we're not even talking about physical abuse, but let's just say emotional, psychological abuse. I can't do every day what other women can do. When my husband tells me, you know, I everyone else can get their kids up in the morning and dress them out with lunches, why can't you? He's right. So, you know, I'm willing to take all this emotional and psychological abuse. It can lead to actual physical violence, and I do think that often this they may get into situations. They don't make good choices. They may act impulsively. They're not good at decision-making. They have poor self-esteem. They're depressed. I think it does set them up for some of these issues. I have dealt with individual patients of mine who have been raped as a result of some of these issues and have been physically abused. But we don't have any studies to back any of this up yet. But you're absolutely onto something here, because it's a perfect setup for what we usually find in the histories and in what's going on with some of these women.
What I've learned from tonight is the crime of all this is they've lumped them all together, and because it's more overt on the guy's side, everybody's paid attention to the boys, the hyperactivity, the disruption in class, and because the girls internalized it, it's been missed for literally centuries probably. We're starting to learn about this stuff now, but the education is really not out there, and literally the aha for me tonight is it's much ADHD is not simple. It's more complicated in women, and it's more complicated. It's more internalized. It's more difficult to diagnose and see, and it's also more difficult to manage on a multimodal treatment, even from a medication, because of the cycle that's natural, as you almost have to adjust the medication as their cycle happens per month to deal with some of that stuff. So it's got to be difficult. It's got to be harder for a woman with ADHD in this world than even a guy.
Well, that's why we're here. And, you know, we did not start raising, we started in 1997, the Center for Girls and Women with ADHD, but it really wasn't until the 90s that we even started looking at some of these. And really, it's only been in the last 10 to 15 years that we've actually been helping women and girls get diagnosed and raising awareness around the country that this is a disorder. And, you know, I think the important thing is the suffering that I come across every day from the emails that I get. The suffering is tremendous. And really, this is why we need to help get the message out there and the information out there so that these girls can be diagnosed and we can prevent some of this from happening.
Absolutely.
And wasted lives.
We've got about a minute left. Is there anything that I haven't asked you or any comments you'd like to make in closing before we wrap this up that you think our listeners need to...
You know, this could end up as a downer, and I don't want to do that. I want to revisit the point that I made a little while ago, that this is a very hope. ADHD is a hopeful diagnosis, even in women and girls. And once we can make the diagnosis, once we can say, this is what it is, as a result of it not being treated for a long time, we have all these other problems. But you know what? Once we deal with this, once we can start treating it, we can deal with these other issues. You know, cognitive behavioral therapy, family therapy, a lot of these other issues. We can deal with them. We can deal with some of the sexual intimacy, sexuality issues with medication for
mm-hmm.
these women. And that's something that we can make progress. And so the main thing is, if you are having problems and you have an inkling that this might be ADHD, go and get a diagnosis.
Yes.
And don't give up. And don't take no for an answer. If someone says, oh, you couldn't possibly have ADHD, you got good grades in school. Well, yes, you got good grades because you stayed up to 2 o'clock in the morning every night doing your homework. You know, but no. Don't take no for an answer. And if you are suffering, if you're having problems, get a diagnosis, because this can make all – you can be leading. I have, again, gotten as many emails, leading a different life.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Quinn, thank you very much for coming on. This has been a spectacular show. Again, for our listeners, for more information on Dr. Quinn, her books, want to contact her, go to addvance.com. Remind everybody, next week we're having Linda Rogers, the ADD Diva, on talking about neurotransmitters, which will be a fun show. So with that, have a great week, and that's the end of this Attention of Attention Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.